Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, good day, wherever you are. Welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. I'm Michaela, your host. Tonight's show is called You Can't Spell Healthcare Without THC. And not even kidding. Look at healthcare. What is in the words? THC. And tonight we have Smokers Lifestyle Magazine coming on talking about THC as being one of the key medicinal components from the cannabis plant, and it's slowly being acknowledged in healthcare and the mainstream public. Robert Marquez is the creator of Smokers Lifestyle Magazine, and he's joining us today to share his journey into becoming an advocate of cannabis, along with his own experience health-wise, into making the choice to become to medicate with marijuana. We will also learn why Robert created Smokers Lifestyle Magazine and what they have to offer, plus his take on the cannabis industry today and where it's heading. Not only that, we will be taking a look into the various ways cannabis can be utilized for a healthier lifestyle, whether it be for preventative reasons or even trying to help aid in current issues. So welcome, Robert. How are you doing today?
Hey, Michaela. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for taking some time today and just get on here and sharing with everybody what you know about cannabis. So I just wanted to start off by saying, if you wouldn't mind sharing your experience with cannabis and how it even helped you medically.
Well, sure. Back in 2001, I had a real bad accident, which left me with terrible back pain. I got 3 herniated discs. They ended up fusing the discs. This was 10 years later. But when all this happened, I was in extreme pain, and I was on all kinds of painkillers. They were giving me maybe 3 or 4 different kinds. I would always tell them, no, this isn't working, you know, so they would give me something stronger and stronger and stronger. So finally they told me, well, you know what, we're giving you all these pain meds. We need you to go to pain management. So then they sent me to a pain management center. There they gave me even more painkillers, and they also gave me pain injections there. And, I mean, it was just horrible, all the stuff I had to go through. Just imagine getting 6 shots on Monday, every Monday for 6 months. And it was 10 times, 6 series of shots. And I had to go for 10 Mondays. So that was 60 shots that I got
on
my back.
That's crazy.
Yep, it was horrible. And
did
just
it even help
alone
you?
Were,
did those shots help you?
For about maybe 2 weeks, but then the pain would come back. And then they would give me another series again, and then it'd be good for about 2 weeks, and it would go away. Then I have to get another series of shots. I mean, it was just horrible. So finally, I told them, well, what about surgery, you know? And they were like, you're too young for surgery.
Right.
And this was back in 2001, so I was just like, okay, I'm going to tough it out. So this led to me starting to drink a lot to help mask the pain, and then I started getting into drugs and stuff. Then my cousin came from California, and he told me, you know what? Why don't you try marijuana? And I mean, I had never even smoked weed at all. And this was even with me doing drugs. I just did cocaine and drinking really is what I used, because I mean, I was in a lot of pain and that helped me big time. So my cousin
right.
told me, this is even more dangerous. You know, he goes, you're going to end up making your back worse because cocaine actually ruins your back more. So I told him, I didn't even know that. You know, I told him, I'm just doing that because I don't really want to be taking all those pills. Believe it or not, I was spending more money on my prescription pills than I was on cocaine. That's why I actually
what?
Started doing that. Because,
that's
yeah,
because
my pill bottles were like $120 a bottle, and then they would only last a month. And then I had several pills. I had like 3 or 4 different pills and muscle relaxers and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I started buying the coke and the drinking because, believe it or not, it was cheaper for me. But then, I mean, my lifestyle just got horrible because like, I was just partying, really. Cousin comes and he tells me, well, why don't you try marijuana? You know, it's a lot better for you. And I told him, you're crazy, you know, because, like, I was raised here in Texas where, and also, in the 80s, where they would just say no to drugs. And the campaign really back then was against marijuana. So I was brainwashed and fed, you know, about marijuana being bad for you. So I was telling him, no, I'm
right.
not going to do that. I would never do it. So he's like, come on, you know, I brought some with me. Try it out. So we tried it. And I'll never believe it. I mean, I'll never forget it. When I did it, within about maybe 30 seconds of taking that first hit, I could feel my body and the pain just immediately go away. It was like the first time I ever felt anything like that. And then I also got the high feeling out of it, which was like kind of like almost being drunk a little bit, but not as bad because you could still like function. So I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, I go, it takes away the pain, and it's kind of like drinking, but not that bad because you can still coordinate and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. So little by little, I kept on. I would smoke weed in the morning and then maybe a little bit more in the afternoon and then a little bit at night. And then I started getting to where I was smoking more and more constant. And then I learned by smoking weed all day long, you can actually stop taking all the prescription pills. It actually saved me from drinking and doing cocaine about a month after just smoking weed straight. I didn't want the craving for cigarettes anymore, so I stopped smoking weed. I mean, I stopped smoking cigarettes first, and I would still drink socially on Fridays and stuff. When I get paid, I'd go with my friend. So I drink Fridays and Saturdays instead of all week long. So it helped me quit my drinking. And when I quit drinking, that helped me quit the cocaine. So, I mean, everything just all started working out for me, and it all started because I started smoking marijuana. And I'm telling you, my pain has not nearly as severe. I mean, I've had surgery, too. That probably helped a lot. But before the surgery, the only thing that helped me was my marijuana. And ever since then, since 2001 when all this happened, I started saying, you know what, I'm going to start telling people the truth about marijuana, especially being from Texas, the way they told us here, like, no, don't do that. You'll ruin your life. It's no good for you. It's going to make you stupid. It's going to kill your brain cells. And it's the complete opposite. Now I've learned that there's judges out there, lawyers out there, doctors out there that all smoke. So, I mean, that goes to show you it ain't just a bunch of dumb potheads out there. We actually have world leaders that probably smoke weed. I mean, Obama, President Clinton smoked weed. Our founding fathers all grew hemp and smoked weed, too. So that goes to show you, I mean, it's been around for a long time.
I know. When I read, I think the first time I found out about that with the founding fathers, it was some kind of, I forgot, I think it was a Trevor Moore song. You know, it was kind of a comedy song, but it's called Founding Fathers. And it talks about, you know, them growing hemp, them selling hemp and weed, smoking it. And I was like, no way. But it's just a trip to see and, like, you know, how much it did help you. And, it has, you know, just one voice out of the many that it actually has helped, you know, look at you, you know, they push this prescription pills on there. And it only does so much, I mean, masking the symptoms. I'm not saying that marijuana, like, I don't know. For you, obviously, I can't say that it cures your ailments, but it has alleviated your stuff and in a good way, in a healthier way. And look at all the things that were that you've been able to drop. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like the worst pain ever and 1 barely, what would you say having used marijuana has brought your pain levels to?
When I'm smoking it and when I'm actually like right after I smoke, I'm good. I'm at like a 2-3 of pain, hardly any pain at all. When it actually starts going away completely, I'll be at about a 5. And as long as, like you say, if you don't run out of marijuana and you have it with you all the time, it's just like pain management. You just got to take your medicine, you know? So, yeah, marijuana is a plant. It's not like a pill. It's not going to last 8 hours, something like that. So you constantly just got to keep smoking it. Now I'm smoking maybe in the morning. I'll take a dab. Then I might smoke a little bit of flower throughout the day to keep the high going. You basically got to keep the high going, and then your pain level won't go up. So as long as you stay high a little bit, you're fine. And that's the thing, though. It gets expensive. You know what I mean?
Right, but in comparison to other things. But the thing is, too, if you were able to grow your own stuff, that would, I would assume, would cut down on some of the costs there, too. But I was going to say, like, for you, in your instance, you know, it took you away from a lot of more harmful substances. You know, what would you, now having had your experience and living through this, what would you say to people that think or say that marijuana is a gateway drug?
I don't believe that at all, especially because I'm telling you, I started with the gateway drug, which is alcohol. Alcohol is the real gateway drug. And once you start drinking, I mean, it's easy to want to try other stuff. And believe it or not, I was scared to try marijuana. I tried cocaine before I tried marijuana because I was so scared of what they told me about marijuana. And after drinking and after doing the coke, I was like, well, you know what? Marijuana can't be that bad, you know? And I did it. And then I realized, you know what? It's not nearly as bad as the coke, because I mean, you can feel the coke, it even makes you bleed and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that thing's just horrible. But alcohol too, I mean, once you start drinking, it kind of like controls you.
marijuana doesn't control you. When you smoke it, it actually makes you feel better, and it helps you see things clearer. It helps you think better, and it even helps your creativity. I mean, I know you've heard of artists that smoke and things like that. It actually, I think, expands your mind. And so I don't know why they would even tell people that it's bad for you, because, I mean, I've seen it and I've done it, and I can personally tell people I've done drugs, I've done everything, and I could tell you, yes, cocaine is bad for you. Yes, alcohol is bad for you, but marijuana, I don't see anything bad at all there at all whatsoever. Just the only thing that it's illegal, and if you get caught with it, you may go to jail.
Right, and I just, you know, to answer that, I mean, you know, I am definitely an advocate for marijuana, whether it's responsible use recreationally or if it's for medicinal purposes. It's just about being accountable for your actions. And so I've had my run with it. You know, I haven't been using it in 2 years. It just happens because the places I lived in, they didn't allow for it. But I mean, I definitely believe in everything that you're saying there, you know, and so it's just needing more people to wake up and be educated instead of the propaganda that's been pushed upon it. And that's the thing, you know, you talk about you don't know why they do such a thing, but, you know, if people really look into who runs things, you know, you've got the pharmaceutical companies who've got a hand in it. You've got, like, and not even just the medicinal side of it. You've got hemp in itself. There's so many industrial uses for it. It could be a biofuel. I mean, that is a big thing in itself. They don't want to lose their profit on their other industries. When, you know, the crazy thing is with marijuana and the cannabis plant, you could still make a good profit off of this. Maybe not obscene, crazy, greedy money, but we all could do, you know, it would be a win-win, I think, you know, for those that are in business and those that are the customers that they're supplying. You know, if they could just look at it from a different perspective and taking care of the environment, you know, I think that's so important. You know, so the other thing, so with you learning all this, because obviously this took you down a whole new, you know, path once it started to help you. And so you why did you choose to become an advocate of cannabis?
Well, you hit the nail right on the hammer when you said about the big companies. That's exactly why I did it, because after I found out the truth, like you were saying, I started saying, well, why are they doing this? And I looked a little bit deeper into it. And sure enough, you find out it's big pharma behind it. And like you were saying with hemp, I mean, we can cut the cost of trees. We could save the trees by growing hemp. But there's a lot of money in lumber. And there's a lot of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. that lobby for big pharma and all these logging companies and stuff like that. So they're one of the main reasons that prohibition is still around. And really, nobody's going to ever take them down because, I mean, they're an industry that provides a lot of jobs for people. There's something – it's like oil, you know. It's something that people need. So it's going to be hard to get away from that and have cannabis legalized. And I mean, it would be so cool if we could even just legalize hemp. I honestly would rather legalize hemp because it would do more for the planet, I think. But back to what we were saying about cannabis and patients real quick. What I have seen now that I've been living in California, I've been doing a lot of cannabis festivals and events. They have them every Sunday. Uh-huh. They have them every Wednesday and every Friday. And I've met all kinds of different patients, to people that have cerebral palsy, people that have cancer, terminally ill patients, people that have like psycho problems, just a range of different people. And then also like veterans that go in. I mean, when you go to a cannabis event, first off, you can't really tell people are sick because everyone's in a good mood and everybody's walking around pretty good and stuff. And that's what it is. That's how good the medicine makes you feel. But once you're there and you start talking to people, and, like, you'll start seeing them when they get up, you'll see that they have crutches, a lot of them, or that they'll have to get in a wheelchair and stuff. So, I mean, that's when I started saying, hey, wait a minute. I go, these are actual patients here, you know? So I started going up to people and asking them, hey, so why do you smoke weed? And they would tell me, well, this one guy, he told me, well, I was in the war, and I had PTSD. He goes, and for a while, I wanted to kill myself and stuff. He said that he was taking all kinds of pills, which he still takes a couple. But he stopped taking a lot of them, and he said that mainly he's been smoking weed now. And the two pills that he does take, he said that they help him a little bit with the anxiety because marijuana kind of makes him a little more anxious, I guess. But those other pills that he's taking help with that. So instead of taking like seven pills altogether that he has, now he's only smoking marijuana and taking two pills. And those two pills, he was taking them before he was even taking the marijuana. So the reason why he's still taking those, they said, because it'll help his anxiety.
But, I mean, that's one guy, what he told me there, and that was for PTSD. Another patient told me that she's got a bunch of nerve pain. She has fibromyalgia, and she can't smoke. And the cool thing about marijuana is you can use it several different ways. Like, you can cook with it. That's what she does. She makes edibles with it. She makes brownies, cookies. What else does she make? She makes Rice Krispie treats, like cereal treat bars. Basically anything sweet you can think of, she makes it with cannabis. And she said that after she did it, she felt how good it felt. She said, you know what, there's a lot of people out there that can't smoke. I'm going to start making these edibles.
And then she told me all about her story. And her and her husband actually run Under Pressure Rosin. And you can follow them on Instagram. And you can see all of the stuff that they make there. But, yeah, that's another person. And that's another method of using marijuana is through edibles. Another thing that this one other person told me, he has a condition where his legs are weak or whatever. He has to use these like crutches with his hands to walk. And when we both get there, I have leg problems and back problems also. And when we get to those events, I have my cane. I walk with my cane, and this guy walks with those crutches. When we get there and we both start smoking and we both start like doing our thing there at the event, by maybe about an hour into it, both of us aren't using our canes and he's not using the crutches and we're walking fine without it. So, I mean, there is something there. I've experienced it. I've seen other people with it. The terminal cancer patients, there's a thing with them. Since they got there a little bit too late, they're already terminal, it's kind of too late to save them. But the good thing about cannabis is it does help them with the pain. And the best part about cannabis is when you smoke, it makes you feel good. So they're happy for once. Like, I remember this lady, she was there. She actually started crying. She's like, thank you for bringing me here. And you're supposed to have a medical marijuana card when you go into these places. And she didn't have one. She was from Missouri. Yeah, she was from Missouri. And I was like, you know what? Let me see what I can do. I mean, we're not supposed to do this. But, I mean, she was terminally ill. She only had a month left. I'm pretty sure she's gone by now. I'm not sure. But I had told them, everybody there, you know, she's terminally ill. She wants to check it out. And we let her in. And sure enough, within about an hour, she told me this is like the best thing. I wish they had it in my home state. She's all, if I could have just gotten to this medicine a lot sooner, maybe able to save me. I'm actually kind of tearing up a little bit.
Right.
Cause, this lady was really cool, you know? And I just thought about her right now, thinking about the session. Because, like, it's kind of weird when you smoke weed and you see these people and you hang out with them. You never really think that they're not going to be here anymore, you know? And, like, that's probably why I haven't seen her, and I just thought about that right now. And, see, that's the thing about weed, though, too, that it'll kind of make you forget all these bad things. Like, you don't realize, you know what, this person's sick, and I'm not going to see them anymore. So that's another reason why I like marijuana, because, like, it takes your mind off of stuff, you know? But, yeah, I mean, thinking about that girl now is just getting me kind of bummed out. But she told me, she goes, you know what, Yeah, she goes, just this 1 hour that I've been here, it's just made me so happy. And they gave her all kinds of stuff home to take home for free. She said all kinds of edibles and stuff because she couldn't smoke. So they gave her all kinds of stuff to eat. And then they even gave her weed to make her own butter. So, I mean, they hooked her up, and I know she was very happy. And the sad thing is that it was legal. Everybody can have access to it, and she'd probably still be here today. And most people with cancer could probably just heal themselves, and it'd be a whole lot cheaper. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that
makes me sad, too. I mean, I'm sad and happy in two different ways. Sad that, you know, so many people are being left out of this and, you know, they're hurting right now because of politics and money and greed. And when there's actually something out here to help you, and that's what really hurts. And look at the cannabis community. I can't say it's huge. I mean, a lot of people might not know, but it's growing, you know, and our quality of life could be better. And, you know, so what makes me happy is to know that, you know, people are slowly waking up and starting to get educated. And more of us, including you, are stepping up to say, hey, you know, and sharing your story, sharing your experiences. And that's what it's takes is, you know, bit by bit planting those seeds for them to know. But like you said, yes, look at how it could help even if you're already at that end stage, but just making those last days better quality, that's important.
Yeah,
but man,
yeah,
like you
just
said, I just hear like people like that.
Yep, just make it a little bit more enjoyable for the people. But getting back to those events that I was talking about, I mean, if you could do that at every city and state. I mean, that alone would be cool, especially because all these people that have sick kids, I mean, that alone is just worth doing it, I think, for the kids, you know. There's, if you guys follow me on Twitter or Instagram, SLM420Love, even on Facebook, Smokers Lifestyle Magazine at SLM420Love, you guys will see all the articles we put up, basically just telling people how they can heal themselves with marijuana. We have articles telling you how it can help with vision, with stomach pains, with cancer, with anxiety, just all kinds of stuff. And there's even doctors on the website that'll answer questions. All you gotta do is just ask the question. If they're online, they will answer it. If not, they'll get back to you. But check us out. We're here to help, and I mean, we'll even help people get medicine if they really, really want it, and it's illegal in the state that they're in. We'll try to get you your medicine. So I mean, that's that alone, I think, is
that's
worth
real love.
Here.
That's some love.
Yeah, that is real love. Yeah, it is real love. I'm telling you,
and I mean, I've early started doing that. I wasn't doing anything like that before, but like I said, I'm all for it, and I know that people can benefit from it, and I know what I'm doing now, it might be wrong, considered illegal, but it's the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And I know if I can make someone's life a little bit better or even save them from whatever ailment they may have, I'm willing to do it. And if I get a fine or even if I go to jail, I'm willing to do it because it saved me, and I know it can save other people.
Yeah, that's some real talk right there. You know, I was going to say, you know, yeah, you want to do the legal thing, but sometimes the legal thing is not the moral thing. And that's why it's such a twisted time we live in. I mean, a twisted but exciting time at the same time, because we actually have the opportunity to make things better if we want to. It's just right now things are like, it's like the sun is the moon and the moon is the sun and black is white and white is black. It's so opposite right now. Like I think about Alice in Wonderland stuff and I'm like, we're already down the fucking rabbit hole. You know, it's just like, just the way things are going. But if we all come together, we can be making those changes. I was going to just touch on the fact that you talked about the magazine, and I'm just like, I went through there and perused a little bit. I mean, because there's so much on there, and I think that's so great that Smokers Lifestyle Magazine is a huge resource. You've accumulated stuff for I don't even know how long now. Like, how long has that been running? Because it's like almost Encyclopedia Britannica upon Britannica, a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing it since 2001. When I first started doing it, it was just like random little pictures here. It started just pictures of me just smoking weed and just, you know, like because I started liking it and I just started taking pictures. Then I started seeing articles and stuff, and then I was like, you know what? Maybe people would like to read this. So I started sharing articles, and then after I started doing that, I was like, you know what? If I could start categorizing it together and, like, trying to organize it, maybe people would like it a little better. So I started putting everything that, say, like, to grow it. Made some, especially if you follow me on Facebook or on Google Plus, you know, especially Google Plus because it's more organized there. I have this one called Greenhouse where it's basically everything you need to know on how to grow it. There's one called You Can't Spill Healthcare Without THC. Anything you need to know about medical and cannabis and medicine, I mean, it's all in there. Another one called Cannabis Strains. Anything you need to know about strains, whether they're indica, sativa, hybrids, it's all in there. Another one about marijuana concentrates. Anything you need to know about wax and dabbing. A lot of people don't know a lot about that yet. Which surprised me because when I went out to L.A., that's how I knew about dabbing because, I mean, that's where I knew it from. And when I got there, I immediately started doing it. And I thought everybody was out there doing it. And when I went and had my first show, I had bought a bunch of concentrates to sell. I went to downtown L.A. and I had my booth set up and I was selling grams of wax there. And nobody was getting any. And I was like, hey, they were looking at me like I was crazy or something. And I was like, do you guys want to take a dab? They're like, no, thank you. Do you have any flower? And I'm like, no, you know, because where we were from in the empire, everybody mainly smokes concentrates. So I thought, you know, I'm going to buy a lot of concentrates, take it to downtown L.A., and I'll get some donations for the magazine, and I'll try to get some cash, you know. And nobody would get any, and I was like, well, what's the deal? And I guess it's because a lot of people don't really know about it yet or something. But, yeah.
No, they don't. They don't, because
yeah,
even me, I didn't find out. yeah, I didn't learn about dabbing and wax until probably about 3 years ago. I happened to go into a dispensary that's run by one of my colleague's friends, and, you know, she had the oil there, and I said, what is that? And she had a dab room, and I was like, what is this? And then, you know, it's definitely just more potent than just flower. I would say I love it dearly, but I think, you know, it's something that you have to, I don't know, if you take a dab, you kind of got to mix it in between with flower, because I think you'll start your tolerance level. Well, if you end up just doing dabs all the time, you're trying to go back to flower, it's kind of like, ah, you know. But that, yes, not everybody knows, even from Florida and everything. But I like it, because to me it makes me think of essential oils or aromatherapy. Again, it's like you said, it's concentrated. You don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot at all. And as a matter of fact, you actually save money. When I first got out to California, I'm used to getting grams of weed for about $20. And over there, it's a lot cheaper, and it's a lot easier to get because it's legal. I'm talking about prices in Texas was $20 a gram. So I go out to California, I'm getting them at $10 a gram, and then I see that gold wax stuff, and I was like, how much is that? And they tell me, well, that's $20, and then we have one for $45 and one for like $80. And I was like, well, wait a minute, why is it so different? And that's when I found out, because they're made differently. It takes, like, some people, I guess the process they do it, it's a little bit more dangerous than others.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's kind of, I guess that's why they charge so much. And also because once it comes out a certain way, like the clearer the better is what I've learned. The clearer the better, and also the tastier it'll be. So, and then they also make them like flavors now. Like there's certain flavors that, like they'll add to it and stuff. So, I mean, it's now like for connoisseurs really. But the cool thing is that it's concentrated. So if you buy like $80 worth of weed and you get $80 worth of wax, it'll probably last you about the same. So
regardless,
wax,
right?
Yeah, regardless. And if you buy $40 worth of wax and $40 worth of weed, you know, $40 worth of wax is going to last you longer than the weed. So, I mean, I do like the wax a whole lot better. That's what I've been mainly smoking. I don't even buy weed anymore. When I get it, it's because they give it to me for free when I buy my wax. But, yeah, you're right. Once you start smoking concentrates, it's really, really hard to go back to regular marijuana because the taste alone, I mean, the taste, you get so used to the taste of the wax when you go back to smoking just regular weed. It's kind of like smoking almost a cigarette. It tastes like ash, almost like ashtray. It doesn't even taste like weed. I don't know. The wax kind of ruined the weed for me in a little bit. But, yeah,
you know, the way I get around that with the flower is, I don't know if you've ever tried this or if my listeners have tried this before, but somebody introduced me to this and I loved it. I just haven't got it ever since. But like they use, instead of burning your flower with like a butane lighter or a lighter straight on, they'll get like the rope. And like it's usually the one that I tried, it was lined in like I want to say honey wax.
Uh-huh.
Oh, not honey, beeswax. It was beeswax. And so you'd light the rope instead, and you'd light your flower that way. And that way you could actually taste the flower instead of your tasting, you know, the stuff that's coming off of your lighter. It does help that way. But I wanted to jump back, Robert, and talk about, you know, since you have been in this dang 15 years, I wanted to say, where do you think that the industry is going, and what would you like to see with it in the future?
Well, people are not going to want to hear this, but it's going to be legal, and it's going to be legal worldwide. A lot of people told me I was crazy when I first started doing this. They said, yeah, it's never going to happen. And now half the country is legal medicinally. We have 5 states that are legal completely. So, I mean, it's going to happen. And once it does happen, I'm hoping that they let us grow our own, which I could tell you probably it's not going to happen when that happens, because they don't want us to even collect our own water, our own rainwater. So I think what you were saying about the greed, I think that's going to eventually happen. The way we're seeing drug prices go up and up and up, sadly, if big pharma gets their hands in there and if government gets their hand in there, we will see probably weed prices go up. But like I said, I mean, if they let us grow our own, we could always go around that. If they do that, it would be nice for them to do it just for patients. I don't see why not any regular person can just have a plant in the backyard. I mean, it should be that way. When our country was founded, they told us that we actually had to grow an acre of hemp. So, I mean, if we had to grow an acre of hemp, why can't we have an acre of hemp and like a plant in the backyard? If we could do stuff like that, the country would be a lot healthier and a lot greener, that's for sure. But, yeah. That's where I see it going. If we all keep doing what we're doing, opening people's eyes, letting them see what marijuana can do, they're going to see that it's a lot healthier for you. It can definitely cure a lot of the sick people out there. As far as hemp is concerned, I mean, we can definitely save the planet. We can, using so much oil, and we can start producing hemp fuels. We can even go electric as far as that goes. I mean, that's something altogether. We're going to do a whole show just on that. But, I see cannabis saving the world, really. I see it saving the planet. I see it saving mankind. I see it probably destroying a lot of pharmaceutical companies, and that's why they're putting up such a big fight. But if they were smart, they would say, hey, you know what? Let's start growing weed, too. Let's start doing something. Let's start making these products. You know, they have the money. They have a lot of money. If they were to invest the money that they're investing in prohibition into supporting cannabis and trying to make it available to everybody, they could probably make a whole lot of more money. You know what I mean? But they got to start thinking that way. They got to get people like us to work with them, and maybe we can do something to help everyone and, like I said, the planet. And I think it's going to happen.
See, and it's definitely coming around. I know, like, the only thing that kind of scares me, at least, I came back to Seattle and I saw that they had changed over from medicinal to making, like, all the dispensaries recreational. And I thought, oh, well, that's kind of cool. You know, and now everybody can kind of go in there. You know, and I will say that I tested out the product there, and I can't say there was anything bad. But the thing that was different about going into a recreational place is they wouldn't allow, you know, they couldn't exactly say, well, this is like this, or talk about it medicinally. And I'm like, okay, that's my scare, is if you're going into places like that, like, and they can't really tell you, like quantify, like, what's in there. And that's concerning. And then the only other thing is, like, I don't mind them taxing it, you know, and making some money that way, but it's like, again, what happens when their hands are in there? Like, you got to regulate who's doing this stuff, because, you know, if they have all their hands in there, first of all, like, it wasn't meant to be modified in all these crazy, crazy ways that I'm starting to hear is happening now. So if they're going to modify the plant, like, and they're, like, putting GMOs in it, or if Monsanto or companies like that have it in there and they're doing all this bad, like, corrupting the plant, that's not going to help us, you know. So there's all these other concerns, you know, of it coming around.
That's one of my biggest fears, that, you know what I thought? And we were all smoking, you know, we were all, like, joking about this when we were all talking at one of those events. And, I told everybody, you know what I think is going to happen? I told them everything is going kind of good right now for marijuana. I told them, and now we even have people like Senator, what's that girl's name? Elizabeth Warren. She's trying to get the banks to work with us. That way they can start taking money from marijuana and start using it legally, you know, start like having banks work with us. So if that happens, that would work good. But what my biggest fear is that they're going to eventually get their hands in there, like you said, maybe put in a couple pesticides, and then they're going to come up with a story that says, this is the first case that we heard of that cannabis caused cancer. But it's probably not going to be the cannabis. It's going to be all the crap that they put in the plant. So I'm just waiting for a story like that to come out. And if something like that comes out, then you're going to really see a push against marijuana, which I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But if they could just let it be the way it was before the Prop 64 in California just passed. I mean, I thought we were doing really good. As long as they let the people that are already in the industry continue to lead the industry, I think we'll be okay. But if they get other people involved that basically fund everything and then want to, like, change stuff up, as long as they don't ruin it, I think it'll be okay. But, yeah, I'm scared about that, too. I think once people get their hands in there, it's going to be bad. And I heard, too, about the taxing some dispensary. I haven't gone to one myself. But this one guy told me that he went to dispensary in L.A. and they're already taxing for marijuana. And they didn't even tell anybody they were going to do it or whatever. This poor guy went in with his $20 and they told him plus tax, so he didn't even have enough. But he said that they taxed him way more than, like, normal tax. So I was like, well, how much was it going to be? He said, like, $25, dude. And I was like, $25? I go, for 20? He's like, yeah. So I don't know if he was telling me right or maybe they texted just a little bit too much there. But I was like, no, not too much.
I think it sounds about right, though. I didn't save my receipt when I was over at Seattle, but it was a little, it definitely was more than I normally would have spent. But I didn't care because I was like, whatever, you know, of course, if you want your stuff, you're going to pay for it. But it's just like, yeah, it's a little up there. And my other thing is, what do you think about this as far as medibles? Because, you know, like any way you take in the plant, that's another thing. Depending on how you take in the plant, it does different things, how it's being processed in there. And so medibles obviously can be more potent because it's going through your liver and everything and you're digesting it. But like them doing like I've been hearing people say, oh my gosh, you know, medibles are killing people. Whether that's true or not, I don't know because I haven't seen any, but people are just saying it. I haven't seen no actual links on this stuff. But it's like if they are really overdosing what they're putting into the medibles, I can see that might be a possibility, but I'm just like, again, they're restructuring it not in the way that they used to, you know what I mean? So
the funny thing about medibles, I mean, I've eaten plenty of medibles, and here's the funny thing about medibles, okay, I've like I said before, I even started smoking weed, I took all kinds of painkillers and stuff, so my tolerance for drugs is really, really high. And when I go and I get medibles, they tell me, be careful with this medible. It's really strong. Just take a bite of it and this and that. I end up eating the whole thing, and medibles don't do nothing for me at all. So I don't know why people like medibles so much. Medibles do nothing
right,
for me.
Everybody's different.
Yeah, everybody's different. But I do see this, and I can tell you like this. I haven't drank in a long time, and I drank a couple beers last Christmas, and I got drunk really quick. And that's the same thing I can tell you for somebody that eats a medible for the first time. It's like taking or smoking weed for the first time. I mean, I remember the first time I smoked it, it did kind of make me a little bit like anxiety. I was kind of like paranoid a little bit. I don't know what the hell was going on. But it's the same thing like when you get drunk. When you get drunk for the first time, you're all disoriented. You even like stumble a little bit. So I think that's normal with anything you take. And the reason I think that they're coming up with all these stories, it's reefer madness again. They're just trying to scare people because I have yet to meet anyone that has overdosed on anything. Sure, you get the one person that ate maybe a whole brownie and they told him just eat a piece, but he ate the whole thing. And now he's freaking out because he's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I got to go to the emergency room. And, man, if he would have just waited like 3-4 hours, he would have been fine. But he made the mistake of going to the emergency room, and then they probably try to pump his stomach and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, if you just, anybody out there, if you're interested in trying it for your first time, I suggest going with like a small candy, but I wouldn't even do an edible because it takes a while for you to get high. So when you eat, like say a brownie or a piece of brownie, it's going to take about 30 minutes to an hour for you to feel anything. So when you eat that little piece and do nothing for you, don't eat the rest of it because it's going to take an hour for it to feel anything. You know what I mean? So like,
regardless,
you gotta eat a little piece and then wait a whole hour for anything to happen. If you eat the whole brownie, you're gonna end up in the emergency room, and then you're gonna give marijuana a bad name, and you're never ever gonna want to eat anything like that again. So yeah, just do your homework.
Because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say to the listeners that are listening, you know, all of Robert's information for Smoker's Lifestyle magazine, like how you connect and how you can look at all his different feed with all his great info is all on the show description, so you can find it there. But, Robert, I wanted to see, we've got about, I'd say, 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners or promote or anything else that you want to leave behind with them tonight for them to really remember a positive outlook for the cannabis plant?
Yes. Well, first off, I want everybody out there to please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SLM420Love. You can find me on Google+, Smokers Lifestyle Magazine. Once you follow me, I'll tell you who else to follow, and you'll see all kinds of news stories. If you're going to be voting in your state or if you want any information about where people are going to be voting on it or anything like that, we'll give you all that information. And the cool thing about us is we don't just focus on one state or one country. We're actually worldwide. So, I mean, we even have people that follow us in England, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. We have people everywhere, really. There's even in Russia, believe it or not. I mean, even Pakistan people follow me. It's weird. Some people even send me messages, and, like, I have to use Google Translate sometimes. But it's pretty cool because, like, I literally do get back to everybody as much as I can. And follow me, you'll learn so much that, I mean, it's unbelievable. And also, we also tell people where events are going to be. So, like, if there's a local cannabis event, say, in Minnesota or something, you'll find out about it. If there's one in Florida, you'll find out about it, especially in California because that's where I'm from. I tell everybody about those. So that's another reason to follow us. Another great reason to follow us is because of all the companies we work with. I have a bunch of companies out here that I would like to mention. I already mentioned Under Pressure Rosin, Martha's Best Edibles. They're another company I work well with. The House Brand is another one that helps us throw a lot of the events. The Blacklist Sesh, that's one of the events we throw every Sunday. That's in San Bernardino, California. And the cool thing about these events is it's really geared for the patients. So when you go to the dispensaries, you're getting grams like about $20 a gram, sometimes $10 a gram. At this event, you get them for $5 a gram. You get ounces for $100. So, I mean, we're not there to make money. We're there for the patients to get their meds at a cheaper price. So trust me, do not waste your money at the dispensary. Wait for Sunday. Go to Blacklist Sesh on Sundays. Go to Talk to Sesh on Wednesdays. And go to the Friday night sesh in Canoga Park with the 420 nurses on Friday. You'll get all your meds at a discounted price, way discounted price. And a lot of times you get free stuff because everybody there throws out free meds to the crowd. They get free samples, free dabs all the time when you go in. A lot of times they let you in for free. Some places will charge $10 to get in. But like I said, you get dabs at every single booth. So just that alone, you pay $10, you get a dab at every booth. There's over 50 vendors, that's 50 dabs. So just to do the math, you're basically paying $10 to steal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
That's what I would
Amazing.
Say. Just follow me and you guys will definitely get your fix with me.
I love it. It's like healthy Christmas all the time. I love it. I just love what you're doing. It's like you're a superhero for the cannabis world, and we need more people like you doing this and willing to speak out on it, and I'm just grateful that you took the time, Robert, to share what you know and just helping others educate. That's the most important thing is educate, and you really are doing that. You haven't stopped to keep on going. So I wish you the best in everything you're doing, and you know I'm always here to support you. So just enjoy the rest of your night. To the listeners out there, thank you so much for listening. You know, I'm just here to promote health and wellness in every aspect, whether it's body, mind, and spirit, and especially with THC and the cannabis plant, from my own firsthand experience and just from the other people that I know, that is definitely what cannabis is about. It can help you on all of those levels. It's just, again, just educate yourself. And if you find that it's not for you, so be it, you know. But, again, just do your research. So with that, everyone, enjoy the rest of your week. Take care. Big, big hugs.
Thank you. And, Makia, thanks to all the listeners. And you all have a great rest of your year.
Thank you. Bye, Robert. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.